Hello and welcome to the Carers Link Lowdown podcast. And joining me, as always, is Katie. And this week, Katie, we've got a really brilliant topic.
We have, yes. We've got Sam Hassan's come on from the Community Service Volunteers. And I think it's something that people will really enjoy hearing about. And hopefully people will be able to actually use the services that the volunteers offer when they hear the wide range of stuff that they do. I think it's a really useful podcast we're doing this week.
Absolutely. And so welcome, Sam, to the Carers Link podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy to be here and tell you all about our services.
Absolutely. And I suppose we always start off with a wee bit of an introduction. So so tell us a wee bit about who is Sam Hassan?
I'm just a resident of the local area. I live in Bearsden. I have done for the last 30 odd years, forgetting what age I am. I've just really gotten involved with the voluntary sector since we went into a lockdown in the first time round. I just wanted to help out in the community. We have an ageing population, so I just thought that there's people out there who couldn't get about as much as I could. So I just wanted to offer my services while I was working from home.
And that kind of leads us into the first question, doesn't it, Katie, about why did the service start? What was the need?
So you're a volunteer. How did you get involved, and how did all the other people get involved, and how did it kind of morph into the service that you now can provide?
So basically, as I say, I was always interested in volunteering. So when the pandemic first hit back in March, I was part of a Bearsden Facebook group, and someone very kindly on that group said, look, why don't we start a voluntary sector here where we can offer our services. People have been told to stay home. People can't get out to the shops. People are too scared to go to the shops. Why don't we see if we can help them? This was really informal, and it all started off on Facebook. I put my name down because I was obviously interested in that kind of thing. I felt I could go out to the shops, to the supermarket. I could walk to the supermarket quite close to me, and I could help local people collect prescriptions, etc. I've got elderly parents, and they were in that situation. They live in Bearsden as well. And I knew that I'd be doing that for them. So we started off like that in March. That went on for a couple of months. It was a WhatsApp group, and what happened was that we got requests coming in saying, is anyone available to pick up a prescription, etc. I did a few of those between March and June. Then we started to come out of lockdown in June, and it lightened up. There wasn't as much happening. But I came across a post from, I think it was from EDVA, on the Facebook group for Bearsden and Get From Mulgay, and they were looking for volunteers. So I applied, and it was Lorraine Moyer who got in touch with me, and she explained what the role was. It was described as admin, and now to me, admin was somebody who's going to sit and do databases. I work in computing, so I thought, oh, that's fine. I can sit and put in people's details on a database. You know, I can do that. I can make up spreadsheets. I can do that. It's not a problem, you know, because I knew I'd still be working from home. It turned out it wasn't quite what I envisaged it to be. It was admin as in, you know, administrator, the community group. So EDVA, I think, were keen on taking over from the informal group and making it all formal. Which is where we came in. So Lorraine had three of us who had applied at that time. She put the three of us together, and we got a lot of guidance throughout, and she told us what was expected of us. It was going to be a proper group. The volunteers were going to be approved. They were all going to have the disclosures, etc. In place. So between June and I think it took a couple of months anyway to get ourselves set up. And since then I've been involved basically helping to coordinate the group. So there are about five admins now who work on it, and we've got I think we have got about 50 volunteers, and we've got about 200 clients who have touched base with us and used us for one thing or another to date.
It's a huge number of volunteers. What kind of people are volunteering? Is it all people who are working at home? Yes. Or
no, it's all age groups. Basically, we have a lot of older people who volunteer who are retired, and they are able to go out and help. They've been absolutely fabulous. We've got younger people, you know, we've got school children still volunteering. Obviously, they're older school children. We have them volunteering with us. As long as they can get a disclosure that you're 16 and over. We've got the younger ones, you know, they started off really early. They were involved in a previous group that I was involved in as well. And so they've stayed as part of the group. So we've got one girl, and she has become a one-to-one befriender with one of our clients. She makes a weekly befriending call, and if that lady needs any shopping, she does all the shopping for her as well. She's done phone top-ups for her, etc. So, you know, to this lady, this girl is a lifeline. So we've got a number of people at the older client, the older volunteers that we have. Obviously, they're, you know, not working from home, so they are so handy for us. If we just say we've got a request in for a prescription, boom, you know, they're away getting a prescription for us, and it's amazing. It's really good because we have people who are employed as well, and they can only help when they're available.
You mentioned prescriptions, but I'm just wondering, just for the benefit of those who are listening, what other services and things do you offer?
So we offer a collection of prescriptions. We shop for our clients. We do transport. So the kind of transport we have offered, and people have taken us up on, is driving clients to vaccination centres, for instance. And I know Edward pushing for that to get volunteers in, but we do have a couple of people who have already done that. We have, even this morning, somebody taking one of our clients to a doctor's appointment, for instance. So transport's there. Gardening's a big one. We seem to have just, you know, it's snowballed. We have also painted and decorated a elderly, I don't know, he was disabled, a disabled gentleman's house for him. He was given a house by the council, and it was in a terrible state, and he's disabled, he doesn't have anyone. So he was actually going to decline the house because he couldn't live in it. So someone put him in touch with us, and a group of us all took it in turns. He wasn't in the house at the point, so it was empty, so there's no worries about, you know, social distancing, etc. So we went in pairs, and they, you know, painted his house, and that took about a week for us to do that.
It's really good to hear that, Sam, because one of my roles within Carers Link is to cover the Opal helpline, which is how people can get in contact. They can obviously contact you directly, but they can also call the Opal helpline. But it was me that took the call from that gentleman, the first call right. from him. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's really good to hear the how it's all gone and everything that happened. Because he was very stressed when he called up the first time, because, you know, he had no way of decorating this house which he'd been given, which he wanted to move to.
And it was a lovely little flat, you know. I mean, I helped paint it, you know. Don't tell anyone here, because, you know, I don't do the painting here. But I've wanted that wallpaper changed for a while. But
and, you know, the other thing that I can say with my Opal hat on is that, you know, before the volunteers came into being, we used to get calls from people looking for help with their gardening. And it is especially now this time of year as everything starts to grow. And there was nothing we could do. We could offer the council's care of garden scheme, which doesn't really do very much. Or we could send them a list of private gardeners and encourage them to claim attendance allowance, because they were going to have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from our point of view, it's a gap that's been there for so long. And it's really wonderful that the volunteers are able to step in and take up that mantle.
I don't know if you know about the lady whose garden we're doing just now. We're involved with a really messy garden. It's completely overgrown. And again, the lady was worried that her neighbours were complaining to the police about her, you know, and to the council about her. She was very stressed about it. she has a neighbour helping her, and their neighbour was really stressed about it. So they got in touch with us, and that's been about 3 weeks now. It's so far it's taken for cutting back brambles, high hedges, bushes, you know, and the team is involved. We've got about 6 of our volunteers. They're up there even today cutting back, and it's almost to some state of acceptability. You know, even the disposal of all that garden waste, you know, we had to think about hiring a skip, but luckily we didn't have to do that. The council van did come round and we could put everything into it. So the gardeners there have been exceptional. You know, mm-hmm. We've been lucky with the weather the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that woman is so relieved. But we see the gardening escalating over the next few months, definitely.
Yeah, from my experience with Opal over previous years, I imagine that will definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because also the council's care of garden scheme hasn't run for the last year. So, you know, yeah. There will be a lot of hedges in dire need of mm-hmm. cutting back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've applied for a fund, and we're hoping to hear back to see whether we've been successful. And we just need some equipment, you know, to carry this forward. Mm-hmm. So things like a petrol lawnmower, for instance, you know, hedge trip. People are using their own equipment right now. So we are waiting to hear.
So if anyone's listening, they've got a spare petrol lawnmower, get in touch. And obviously, this service has been running during the pandemic and COVID. And what are some of the challenges been that you've had to overcome? And how did you overcome them?
Mm-hmm. Mainly the challenges that we felt were because, you know, things like social distancing, we couldn't go into people's houses. We have some really elderly people who are using us for shopping, for instance. And, you know, I mean, we just leave it on their doorstep rather than taking it into their houses, and then they have to carry them into their houses, etc. So all we can do is leave them there, but put them into smaller bags so that they can carry the bags, you know, in smaller amounts.
One of the things that's in my head is the transport, because obviously that's an issue in terms of keeping the volunteers safe and the people that they're giving a lift to safe. So what kind of things do you have to do there?
Yeah, so our volunteers are offered PPE. We have a little fund that we can give them money, pay for their PPE. Obviously, we tell them to make sure that the passenger sits in the back and not with them, windows down, face masks on. We just tell them straight up, do not volunteer to do any of this if you feel uncomfortable at any point. And also, like when we were in that flat, for instance, we made sure all the windows were open and there was no more than 2 of us in the flat at any one time. We also have a gentleman who wants to go shopping. He needs somebody to accompany him, but we're not going to be travelling in the same car. We're not going to pick him up at his house, for instance, you know, which would be ideal for him. We're going to ask him to meet us at the supermarket, and that's simply because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So everything we do, there's always someone on saying, are we allowed to do that, you know? So, yeah, we're completely aware of everything. You know, we leave it on the doorstep. We don't go into people's houses. Prescriptions as well, we're asked to leave it on the doorstep and step back. We wait till the person comes to the door and picks up the prescription. So there's no immediate hand-to-hand contact there. Money-wise as well, we try not to take cash initially, but it gets harder, you know. Older people tend to deal with cash. So they wanted to pay us, but we have money cards in supermarkets, which means that our volunteers can go in, they can get the money card, they can pay for the items, they can take the receipt back to the client, and then the client can pay a cheque directly into our community group's bank account.
Yeah, because I know that's one of the questions I often get asked when people first contact and they're looking for help with their shopping. You know, it's often, how do I pay?
And how have volunteers been coping with the restrictions?
Volunteers have been really good. We did notice that some of them backed off a little bit when the strains sort of were talked about, you know. rather than having instant replies from there's four or five of them and just apply all of a sudden, you know, as soon as you post it on, we found that was, you know, reeled in. And we kind of thought, why is that? And of course it was, when we spoke to them, they did say, well, you know, they've said that there's a more virulent strain out there and just being a wee bit more careful. And that's absolutely fine, because we always find someone who's willing to do it, you know. So some of the volunteers did tend to step back ever so slightly with going into supermarkets. So we have one gentleman, for instance, and he cares for his wife. And he's not willing to go into supermarkets, but he is willing to pick up prescriptions for us. He just feels a wee bit safer doing that because there's more people in the supermarkets, etc.
So, you know, in terms of volunteers, you obviously 50 is a good number, but are you still looking for volunteers if there's people out there who would like to volunteer?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking for new volunteers. There's always lots and lots of jobs to do. We're, like I say, the garden is going to be increasing over the summer months, you know. We still envisage having to do the shops. The befriending calls are a big thing. We're planning on advertising a lot more. So, yes, we're always happy to take on new volunteers, always looking for them, because people's situation changes. So we may have a bank of 50 right now, but, you know, we're moving forward and we'll be going back to work soon. You know, even myself, I'll not be working from home forever because of my type of job, teaching a college. So I can't be doing that from home, you know, in the future. So I'd have to scale back ever so slightly from daily admin. And our other admins as well, they work. So, yes, we'd always want new volunteers to be helping.
And if somebody's listening and interested, how do they go about becoming a volunteer?
Well, they can either contact us at the G61, G62 Community Response Team. We're on Facebook. They can also get us through EDFA, who are constantly looking for volunteers. We also have our adverts in the community magazines. We try to do that on a monthly basis if we can afford it that month. And in that leaflet, it says, as well as saying, this is what we offer. There's also, if you're interested in volunteer, please contact us.
And just to say, EDVA stands for East Dumbartonshire Voluntary Action. It's for those that don't know.
And we'll put all the contact details in the show notes so that if anyone does want to get in touch, we'll put the Facebook address and all the rest of it so that people can get
and
in
also
touch.
And also, if anyone knows anyone who could do with our support, then it would be ideal if we could let them know how to contact you.
Yeah, we'll put the Opal helpline number in there as well, which I can actually say off the top of my head, which is 0141 438. Oh, no. I've forgotten it. That's
get really right,
weird.
Katie.
438-2347. 0141. 438-2347. Do know what it is, really.
we'll put everything in the show notes anyway. But yeah. So, Sam, that's been fantastic. And we're coming to the end now. You'll be probably relieved. Just on a more personal note, how have you coped with the pandemic? What's your secret to staying sane?
I'm not saying. It's basically just to take each day at a time, to, you know, look for that light at the end of the tunnel, because it's definitely coming, and just to keep in contact with people, really. You know, that really does help, and to get out and just say hello to people as you go out a walk, etc. And this volunteer group has been a godsend. And helping, you know, distract from what else is going on in your life to help other people. So when you're helping other people, you do feel good about yourself. And to know that we are offering that service does make me feel quite proud.
Absolutely.
You should be proud. I mean, I get so many people saying that how much they appreciate the service and how much of a lifeline it is for them. And I mean, they say it to me and I'm thinking all I'm doing on the Opal helpline is I'm just taking your details and passing them on. It's not me that's doing the work, it's the volunteers. And, you know, on a personal level for me, I have huge respect for the volunteers and I don't think we could have got through the pandemic without them. So well done to every single one of them.
Yeah, they've been amazing for us. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Sam, that's us for this week. And thank you very much for joining us and taking the time out. And we wish you well and continued success and hopefully maybe maybe this podcast will go some way to help provide more volunteers or more awareness of what you've been doing.
Like one thing to mention, John, is well, Sam obviously is from the G61, G62 volunteers. They're also volunteers that cover the whole of the rest of Eastern Bartonshire. And we'll put their contact details in as well. So there's a group for G64 and there's a group for G66. So there's lots of volunteers out there.
Okay, Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So, Katie, that was good. That was a good wee interview.
Yep, that was. And hopefully people will understand more about what the service is and how they can get involved either as someone receiving the services or providing the services.
And I think that, you know, people obviously focus a lot on the difficulties with the pandemic and stuff. But actually, I'm always amazed at just the how people have risen to the challenges and you know, all sorts of different people who are doing and it's not just big things as well. It's maybe small things. I know everyone kind of thinks of you know, that chap that raised millions for the NHS, but it's also the other people just picking up prescriptions or doing something just neighbourly, which is, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah. Congratulations to all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Katie, that's it for this week. And we are hoping to do something next week. We've got
a
spring banter.
We're hoping to do something fun, yes.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that. What we're going to do.
Well, we're hoping, as the sun is starting to shine and the things are starting to grow, we are hoping to do an office banter on spring cleaning. So we will do a shout out to see if anyone's got any spring cleaning tips they want to share or any questions they want answered. And John is the expert, I can tell you. He will be answering all those questions.
Dear, you haven't seen my bedroom. Anyway,
no, I haven't.
You don't want to. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. And the banter ones we've had through the year have been quite good. So last night for that one. So okay, Katie, thanks very much, and thanks again to Sam, and we'll see everyone, or we'll hear with everyone this time next 2 weeks time. And again, all the information and contact stuff will be in the show notes. So with that, goodbye.
Goodbye.